Hey everybody, and welcome to Indie Film Cafe. This is season 3, and you've got your old pal the Moo Cow here, known as Paulie Presenza, and we're also here with
Jonathan A. Moody,
and as a special guest, we also have
Lila Toa.
Woohoo! All right, and tonight we are going to watch a movie from one of my favorite sneaky movie directors, Donald G. Jackson.
Ooh, wait, what movie is this?
This is in the second of his kiddie movies. If you recall, in season 1, we ended up doing Roller Gator, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. And this time, we're going to watch a movie called Baby Ghost.
Baby Ghost?
Baby Ghost, with Joe Estevez and Conrad Brooks and every other stinking Z-rated movie actor there was.
Is Sandra Shooker in it too?
I'm afraid not. I wish. I wish she was.
Are you sure about that?
I'm sure about that.
Oh, damn.
But that's okay. This should be a lot of fun. So
get ready, Lila. This is gonna be pretty crazy.
Right. I'm excited. I'm having baby ghosts over here just thinking.
Woohoo! Outstanding. Having some phantom contraptions, are we?
Indeed.
There we go. Anyway, so let's get on with the show right after we hear some mood music. Okay, we are back. So, first of all, before we discuss the glory that is Baby Ghost, we have an addition to our little crew. Say hello, everyone, to everyone.
Heyo, I'm Bobby.
All right. So we are officially a foursome for this particular movie. And yeah, you came at a very appropriate time.
Because, oh boy did I.
Yeah. Baby Ghost. What did you guys think?
I thought Roller Gator was bad, and then I watched this movie, and it is way worse. These guys have not seen Roller Gator. Me and Paul have, and
I love that movie.
Let's just say you guys would actually think like Roller Gator is much, much better.
Masterpiece, which I've been telling everybody. It's funny, when we first started doing these shows, and like when Just Jen was with us, she kind of, you know, really, really suffered through Roller Gator, as some of my friends do. And I'm like, That is just, you know, the shallow end of the pool. As the season went on and the movies got worse, I would say things like, so, Roller Gator's looking pretty good right about now, isn't it? And she'd be like, yes. But yeah, Baby Ghost was bad. It was really bad. Not in a fun kind of way bad. I mean, it was fun for us, but it wasn't as much fun as
Roller Gator. I don't know if it was fun for these guys as much as it was for us.
Oh, I bet there was some pain involved.
I'm thankful for the focus puller, making sure that not a single shot was in focus.
So God forbid, we can't have that. I mean, you know, Lather, what did you think?
Well, even though you can't see it by listening to this podcast, my feelings can be described by the myriad of snacks all over the table. I have decided to eat my feelings in response to my feelings for Baby Ghost. But I don't know. Maybe I am having a phantom pregnancy.
Had I known about the plot, quote unquote, I would have gotten us lots of donuts because donuts figure prominently. And this is definitely like a 2 dozen donut movie because,
Well, I thought it was interesting because this is a movie that Paul has not seen. And Paul's seen almost every Donald G. Jackson movie there freaking is.
I knew by reputation, and I had read all kinds of stuff about it. But, you know, this is one of those things where we always tell people, you might hear about it, you might read about it, but until you actually see it and experience it for yourself, you just don't know. You just don't.
You just don't know.
True.
So let's talk a little bit about the plot.
The quote-unquote plot?
Okay, so poor Joe Estevez is a baby photographer, not a very good one.
He's a baby photographer, but he's photographing kids, you know,
right,
which is not babies. So, I mean, was that like written before, or I don't know. It was really strange.
Right.
I think they found the kid with the bowl cut rat tail, and they were like, oh, we're switching it to this kid.
Right,
it's got to be this kid.
I mean, that kid is pure, like, photogenics.
And I imagine he's not just like, well, if he's not a baby, I'm not going to take the picture. I'm sure just babies and kids in general. Oh, no. So he's there. He's not very good at it. He's not very personable. They push him around. He's wearing a bow tie. He's just a total loser.
I said be careful. His bow tie is really a camera.
I know. I know. So then he, you know, he figures out, yeah, they're right. I am a loser. And he starts to call up the 1-900 number that apparently he calls 10 times a day, every day.
But you're skipping a lot of other things that actually set up the whole story. You forgot the fact that the kids unleashed this baby ghost.
Oh, yeah.
So the kids unleash the baby ghost, then the baby then he decides...
They unleash the baby ghost by remembering their mother's measurements.
Right.
So essentially what happens is there's this box in a room because this little girl decides to punch a cop in the nuts, take off and hide.
Right,
and
in
she
the
finds
nuts.
This box with a combination on it. And she's like, I'm going to put my mother's measurements in it. That's obviously the code.
36, 24, 58.
58 was the last one.
5-8.
Wow.
And we'll get...
If I were his mom, I'd have smacked him.
Oh, my goodness. Well, anyway, so go ahead. So he does call the psychic person up after that.
Right, so now Baby Ghost has been released. And in the meantime, Justavez, feeling sorry for himself, calls the 1-900 number for the psychic that he calls 10 times a day to make himself feel better. She's just can't stand to deal with him. She's trying to...
$4 for $4.
Yeah, $3.99 a minute.
And this was in the 90s, folks.
1995. And she's, you know, saying, you know, really, you should just try and solve your own problems and stop wasting time and my time. And he's like, but that's what you do. You make me feel special. And so she's like, okay, fine. And she does a reading. And the reading is basically all these horrible things that are about to come.
They're tarot cards.
And she just advises him to go home and go to bed and just not come out. Yeah. And
which we all wish we could do.
Sure.
Especially after watching this movie.
And then she decides to read her own cards, and they say pretty much the exact same thing. So it's like a dramatic foreshadowing of
what's
going to happen.
We learned that she's bad at shuffling.
There you go. Very bad at shuffling.
Her nails look fantastic.
Mm. And she stayed in costume, even though it's a phone number that people are calling.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I learned that doing amusement park work. It's that you've got to always stay in character.
Sure.
So kudos to her for sticking it out with the clothing.
So method.
So in the meantime, Joe Estevez, whose name is, what is it, something Cobblepot.
Winslow
Cobblepot. Winslow can't get the door to work. He's no longer able to leave. And he starts freaking out. He ends up running around trying to find someone who can help. First, he runs into the security guard who thinks he's a little girl and puts him in a chokehold.
Well, yeah, he thinks he's a little... He thinks everybody's this little girl. Then he starts... Oh, okay.
Well, his method of dealing with little girls is chokehold.
And
he mentions his campaign or whatever in Vietnam that he had spent
time
there and that he's this big hero.
This is the same
Rent-A-Cop.
This is the same rent-a-cop that got narded by the little girl. So he's not in a pleasant mood, so he jumps all over Joe Estevez, who berates him for doing that. So then he runs off, and because he wants to use the elevator, but the guy's like, oh, the elevator's broke, it keeps stopping at every floor. So he manages to get down to the Elliot, the repairman, played by the wonderful Conrad Brooks, to try and get it to fix him. And of course, Conrad Brooks, being himself, is lazy and shiftless and doesn't care. And
rest in peace.
But it doesn't even care. It's not even like he doesn't care. He doesn't understand what he's trying to ask him to do.
Right. I'm not even sure that he understands he's in a movie.
Yeah.
To be honest. I think he just walks up and he's like, someone's talking to me, I'm gonna respond and whatever irreverent.
That is the Conrad Brooks method.
And you know, it is because like
is there a school for that?
Yeah, maybe. There was this like scene in Roller Gator where Swampy,
Swamp Farmer.
Yeah, that's who Conrad Brooks plays. Is just talking to himself, walking around.
This is
Kang from Kung Fu.
Yeah, just like
very
that, wandering around.
Yeah, identical.
Just wandering the earth.
Oh, wandering the earth.
Somebody's
gonna
get sued.
Anyway, so Elliot's not bothering to help him. So in the meantime, for whatever reason, there are these two idiot thugs from New York. You know, very Home Alone-ish, who show up, and I guess they're there to rob the building. And you really, I'm not even sure what to say about them because they're so stupid.
They're just kind of like an intermittent hijinks that just occurs
sort of randomly.
Maybe a few times. And they don't even bother with the rule of three. I think they have like four appearances.
Right.
They have four appearances and one of them like just so random. And then after that, it's like they're done pretty much with their role. Like, right. They've served their purpose in it.
Pretty flat arc.
But right. They drove all the way from Brooklyn to get to L.A.
Yes,
because
they
heard that there was good stuff to rob.
Oh, in this goodness. Particular
from
building.
From this mall, which looks suspiciously like someone's apartment.
And
probably the bathroom.
He figures
somewhere.
If they ask nicely, maybe they'll just unlock the doors for them.
Really?
Because he's heard that's how they are here in L.A.
That's what Muse said.
Everyone
oh my
in L.A.
God.
Is nice.
I forgot that.
L.A. people are nice.
There you go.
Yeah.
So that's going on. And in the meantime, Baby Ghost starts to appear, and he's not real. Everybody's terrified of him, even though he's just kind of irritating. And he just tears stuff up. Like, he gets to Joe Estevez's photography studio, quote unquote.
Excuse
which is,
me, his name was Winslow. Cobble.
Winslow. Well, it gets to Winslow's studio, which, which is, let's face it, is a utility closet. It was just missing a mop. And cuts up one of his pictures, and then he just. Basically, he sits, just giggles until people run away.
He's actually kind of adorable. Yeah. Not even scary.
I mean, yeah, Baby Ghost actually was, for me, the most profound performance of this piece. You know,
oh, he was the best actor in the movie.
So moment
Absolutely.
To moment.
He's like a puppet that's been projected onto the film.
Right.
You know, it's, he just looks bad. It looks really, really bad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, at one point, you actually see the puppet instead of the projection.
Sure. And in fact, when he's cutting up the pictures, you're not seeing the ghost scissors doing it. You're seeing the real scissors, you know, in camera doing it.
Because every time the ghost baby picks up something, it also becomes a ghost.
Right. Yeah. Right, right, right.
There's no point where he picks up the scissors. And the scissors become green and kind of like see-through. And
he
then there's a point where he picks up the kid's video game
power.
And it's suddenly very translucent.
Tremendous power.
Yeah.
You know. The special effects were wonderful.
He's OP. Baby Ghost is OP.
Yeah, the power system in this movie is very diverse.
It's crazy. So that's basically the rest of the film is them trying to deal with Baby Ghost and trying to get out of the building because they're not intelligent enough to actually leave the building. And it's just
they couldn't leave the building. All the doors were the doors didn't work.
Yeah.
The doors didn't work.
Because they
Madame Zora
they
had
couldn't
so
unlock the door.
Intuited.
Well, yeah. No, but also I'm wondering was it Baby Ghost that was doing it? Was that really what was going on?
The,
or was
the problem is it was unclear,
right? Because
the
never
problem is
this
that
movie
the four,
unclear.
The point was is that the four dumbest people that ever had walked in the building also happened to be in the building.
Six
at the same
dumbest
time.
Six.
Well, they weren't in yet, but yeah, they pretty much were.
Well, they and you know what was I was wondering why couldn't they just run back out the same way they came back in.
I have
you
no
know,
idea.
Like, why would they run toward the other way? You know?
I really can't explain any action from any person in this film.
Not again! Not again!
It's so bizarre.
Yeah.
So
speaking
anyway,
of bizarre in 90s reference, Madame Zora's name, her real name in the movie was Mildred Krabappel.
Yep, there you go.
Which is a lot like Edna Krabappel from
right.
The Simpsons.
Right.
And then she also mentions that you're acting like a cartoon character.
Right.
Obviously.
Nice little Easter egg attempt there.
Cobblepot is the name of the penguin.
Their references were so, like, unsubtle.
Right. Right. Ghostbusters.
Right.
And clearly, this was a mashup of Home Alone and Ghostbusters in a very, very threadbare
But I like how,
way.
Like, Baby Ghost became, like, Kevin Malone all of a sudden. Is it Kevin Malone? Am I saying his name right? Okay, he was the one who was, like, you know, in a way, Baby Ghost is the hero of this film.
Oh,
because
clearly.
His people
oh, Kevin
are
McAllister.
Trying to prevent
Kevin
McAllister.
Yeah.
Because Baby Ghost was actually trying to prevent the building from being robbed, which apparently the security officer himself couldn't even do, so.
He was too busy with his mustache.
Yeah, everybody was incredibly incompetent other than Baby Ghost. Which
Baby Ghost did
ridiculous.
Look like Macaulay Culkin. A little
I
bit.
Mean, yeah, there was
they,
definitely.
They had a very similar shade of green. Yes. But yeah, this is just a bizarre, strange movie.
It was
it's so crazy.
It was weird.
So poor.
Basically,
what
I loved
I found
it.
Very interesting.
You loved it out of all
was
of us.
All of like the clever ways that people decided to lure Baby Ghost back into the box.
Yes.
Like, there was a trail of donuts that must have gone a mile inside the building around elevators and staircases that Winslow and Mildred put together.
Right.
Because for some reason, and I don't know if it's because they read the symbols on the box that said feed them donuts.
Feed them donuts.
Feed them donuts.
And where'd they get the donuts? We don't
know. There was that. And
who cares?
And that didn't work because then they ran into the other two stupid people in the building.
I admitted they would have gotten me with the donut trick.
I mean, I can easily be trapped by
donuts.
Box.
If you see
a trail of donuts, you got to know where it's going.
Sure. And you got to eat them as you go along.
Well, no, but he didn't really eat them.
No, he didn't because he couldn't because he's a puppet.
They tried, though. They really tried to make it look like he ate them.
But luckily, the kid with the rat tail left his video game behind.
Right, right.
And so they decide to lure him in with the video game because baby ghosts likes video games. I guess it's kind of like giving a child your smartphone nowadays.
Of course.
Was this not common knowledge? I
thought even though he was from 1635, they find out, he knows exactly what a video game
is. Yeah, apparently he was really good at Street Fighter. Mm-hmm. And
that's why the music popped up.
Colonial
like that.
Street Fighter.
Right.
And essentially what happens at the end is that the kids come back because they left the video game with their mom, who has the very irreverent measurements.
Yep.
And
good for her.
God bless her.
And you know what? It turns out she wasn't the only one with those measurements.
She certainly wasn't.
Yeah, and in the ending, when everybody's, you know, okay and Baby Ghost has been put in the box, the two dumb thugs from New York steal the box and they decide to open it up and they don't know how, so he's like, "Oh, use Cousin Elvira's measurements."
Cousin Elvira's.
36, 24, 58.
Which is really creepy, because why do you know your cousin's measurements like that?
Why do you know your mom's measurements?
There was a lot of inadvertent creepiness going on here. A lot of touching.
A lot of touching of children.
Yes. There was like, that kind of wigged me out a little bit.
Which I don't understand, because like, Roller Gator didn't have any of that, you know, or whatever. So, like, this was before them. Did they learn that it's just not supposed to do that?
You just use the L word. Don't use the L word.
I'm pretty sure if they had learned, they wouldn't have made any movies after that.
Exactly.
Just like the J word, justification. There's just a lot of setup. No justification.
None whatsoever. That's true.
So ridiculous.
But in the end, I mean, the kids were the toughest ones. They were the heroes because them coming back and distracting...
God, I don't even know if
Baby
there was
ghost
a hero.
Is what got them trapped in the
hero
box.
is the camera guy who finally shuts off the film. That's our hero.
I wonder what, since this was a children's film, I wonder what the moral of the story was.
There was none.
The moral of the story was the police. Because the little girl actually punches the cop
twice.
In the nuts.
And
twice.
They try calling the cops, and the cops never show up.
The cops never show up. So the moral
buried,
of the story is fuck the police.
Buried under all this nonsense, I think... There is a romance, okay?
Oh, yeah.
There were two.
Okay? Winslow and Mildred. They finally
get together.
What about
Conrad and the cop, though?
That was the sweeter love story to me.
That's the inadvertent one.
I like that love story. I wanted to see where that went.
They were very grabby with each other, and they had the strangest incidental music. It sounded like what you would hear if you were shopping for brassieres, you know? Not bras, brassieres.
Mm-hmm. It's fancier.
You know?
It's fancier.
Well, it's for people with, you know, 58 measurements.
Okay, right.
Okay.
We're very old ladies.
Very old ladies.
There you go.
Yeah, so that was just odd. But we did get to see Conrad Brooks run. I was pretty amazed by that.
Does he not run?
He actually did all of his stunts in this movie, I think.
He did.
He was on the floor a few times. I was like, and he looks like he's about 86 even though it was like... He died in, 2017, I think I read?
Yeah.
And he was 86. So,
he
was only 66, but he looked like he was already 86.
Poor Conrad
and he
Brooks.
Was doing all the stunts in this movie. So, you
know,
God bless him. Rest his soul.
He was
rest
awesome.
In peace.
I say that with no irony. What a joy he is.
I know. And they were all friends and buddies. So, I love to see these guys doing this together. And that's
absolutely.
Really where the joy for me comes in.
I honestly love Joe Estevez and Conrad Brooks together.
Yes.
When they're explaining.
Always.
My favorite scene is just them talking to each other about the elevator. And he looks at him and goes, "What do you want me to do?" And he goes, "I want you to fix it." It's like, fix what? You know, like, it's just like...
And then he's
totally
like, why?
It's bizarre who's on first.
Yeah,
why?
Exactly.
Because it's broken.
He's like,
broken.
Says, "I want you to look at the elevator," and he goes and he stares at the elevator.
He stares at it.
And then he asks him, "What's wrong with the elevator?" He's like, "It's stopping on every floor. That's what elevators are supposed to do."
He goes up to them and he goes, "What are you looking at?" And he said, "I'm looking at the elevator. You told me to look at the elevator." And he's like,
"God,
that's because I want you to fix it. It's definitely like this who's on first joke."
That is
like
the level of
miserably.
Humor in this movie. You know, the dumb thugs who are actually trying to steal things. And the guy's like, "Oh, let's go over there. That door's ajar." He's like, That's not a jar. If it were a jar, it would be glass and short, and it'd be full of jams and jellies. It's like, really?
And that is actually the best joke in the movie, and now you know the level of comedy.
Oh, my God.
No, I still maintain that the best joke in the movie is when the little girl walks up to another little girl, and she's like, next you're going to start seeing ghosts. She goes, you think this place is haunted? And the other girl goes, I think your brain is haunted.
It's almost too good. That joke's almost so too good for this movie.
I know.
It was too good for the movie.
I think that that girl came
I'm
up with
use
it
that
on...
joke all the time.
I think she came up with it on the spot, like herself and stuff, because
I
that
swear,
was way too good for the movie.
Those, that family, those kids and that woman who was the mother, I swear to God, they came off the street. Donald G. Jackson saw them and said, hey, you want to be in a movie?
Street kids.
Seriously.
Street kids. And I want to see the sequel with Street Kids, personally.
Yeah.
I think those two little girls were the best actors in the film.
Well, there's supposed to be a baby ghost, too, so where'd that happen?
Oh, please, God, please let there be a baby ghost, too.
There's still time.
There's so many unanswered questions. The plot could go on forever.
Well, these days, it'll be a remake, then a sequel.
Right.
With Will Smith and a giant budget.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Baby ghost with Will Smith?
I think Will Smith would buy that. As the baby ghost.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
If only John G. Jackson was still amongst us, God forbid.
Yeah, but I've heard he didn't really like these movies much.
I wonder why!
You know, when you make a movie like this, I hope you're expecting it to be bad.
Well, okay, so he made Hell Comes to Frogtown. He wanted to do more Frogtown movies and frog-oriented, like The Toad Warrior and some of the other movies he did. So... He agreed to make...
I like how Paul looks at me like, I know what he's talking
about. I know.
Absolutely
I know.
Dope, but thank you for making me feel included.
And so he made a deal. I forget who he made it with, but he made a deal to make these three kid-oriented movies. And it was Baby Ghost, Roller Gator, and Little Lost Sea Serpent, all of which are terrible and which he just does not like. And the other thing is of course... He insists that these three movies were scripted, unlike most of his other productions.
There was a script?
Yes, right! That's what I'm saying!
Had a very improvisational tone for the
Yes.
It was pretty bad. But it was, remember guys, it was a screenplay.
Yes,
not
that's
screenplay.
True.
Yeah, that seems like, it didn't seem important at first, but once the movie started
play,
getting going, that seemed like
I
an important distinction.
I get it.
Yes. A lot of humor like this. Oh, my goodness.
Well, yeah. It was pretty bad humor, but...
Very punny.
That part was punny. Most of the other times wasn't even punny.
But
it was just
the point is that he made these movies in order to get money, in order to make the other films that he wants to do. So, very similar to what a lot of people in Hollywood have to do. Even a guy on the very, very fringes of Hollywood like Donald G. Jackson...
But was this Hollywood? I mean...
It was L.A. That's close.
I was shot in L.A., but it wasn't really Hollywood.
It was shot on a movie camera.
It was shot in an apartment.
There were people.
Somewhere.
There were actual human beings in this film.
What you're telling me that's blowing my mind is that this movie turned a profit, and I don't understand how that happened.
I don't know who
greenlit it in the first place.
Donald G. Jackson and Scott Shaw. God bless them.
Oh, my goodness.
God
so,
bless them all.
They went and put this movie out there, and oh my God.
But he doesn't like these movies, and I don't know why. They're delightful. Maybe not for the reasons that he originally made them, okay, but I love them. And if you go to Scott Shaw's webpage, which we will make sure to put up on the podcast somewhere, you can buy them. And the thing is, Roller Gator's out there, and people know that one because Riff Trax found it, and yes, I'm going to fly the flag and say, yeah, I've been talking about this film since it came out. Because I've always loved Donald G. Jackson. So I knew about this film for a long time. But
you didn't watch it until now.
Oh, no. But Baby Ghost and Little Lost Sea Serpent are much harder to find. And
you actually have to get it from Scott.
You have to get it from Scott. So do yourself a favor. Do yourself a huge favor. Go to Scott Shaw's webpage and buy every single movie that's on there. Because trust me, you're going to love all of them.
I do want to mention this. The screenwriter, or whatever you want to call it, is Mark Williams, right? Who wrote The Devil's Pet, which Donald G. Jackson did
there
as
you go.
Well. He also did a movie called Big Sister 2000, also done by
Donald G. Jackson.
Little Lost Sea Serpent, he wrote that. And he did your favorite other movie, Pocket Ninjas.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Oh, I thought you would love that. But it was like, The movie is just awful. This movie that we're watching is just, that was just terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
But a lot of fun.
I'll never get that hour and a half of my life back. So
oh, it was hour and 24 minutes.
Hour and 24 minutes. I know it seemed longer.
I don't want it back. I was there for it.
He enjoyed it more than all of us. All
right, so let's talk a little bit about at least some of the main characters, their acting involved. What did you guys think of Joe Estevez as Winslow Cobblepot?
Yeah.
I realized I wasn't surprised I had never heard of this particular Estevez. that was my feeling.
All right.
Ouch.
I mean, there always seems to be like more Sheens and Estevezes that just like come out of the woodwork.
Yeah,
right.
They're
right,
like,
right.
Hey, I'm an Estevez.
He's kind of.
I'm wondering if I can use that, like to make my way through Hollywood.
He's kind of
like
the low.
I might be an Estevez.
The low hanging fruit.
I like
Estevez.
It.
Thank you.
He's the low hanging fruit Estevez. He, you know, and that's fine. We all need that. We all need someone in our life.
We need fruit we can reach.
Yes.
You're absolutely
and
right.
What delicious sweet fruit it is, too, because he, you know.
What a fine head of hair.
Come on.
That's about what
the
I
guy
have to
was
say
completely
that.
Convincing as a loser baby photographer frightened of a projection off screen.
I just like the projection in general that a baby photographer is a loser. Like, you made this, like. This rule, this law, that if you photograph babies,
oh yeah,
your life
the,
just sucks.
Well,
the woman
with the
says
bow tie,
that. The woman says that. Like,
Madame she doesn't
Zora.
Know his career, but I mean, maybe she ended up being. Well, I mean, I guess she was more psychic.
Hey, man, Ansel Adams started as a baby photographer, man.
No, but that was so funny.
See, that last bit of there.
She did say that. Like, she said. Maybe he's a baby photographer. And then he goes, I'm a baby photographer.
Ba-doom-tsh.
And like, what a specific thing to say. You know what I mean? Like,
I can't say I ever think about baby photographers unless someone is talking to me about a baby photographer.
Right. You don't ever go around your life and you're like thinking to yourself, is that a baby photographer?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I can't say wow. I've ever looked at somebody and be like, yep,
or
baby
spoke
photographer.
With someone on the phone that I'd never met and be like, you know, he sounds like he's a baby photographer.
And let's face it, that career choice has always floated in front of all of us. We all have that moment where we're like, yeah, I should be a baby photographer.
Yeah, maybe at the Olin Mills, like, photo shops, or like when you went to Sears to get photos with your
think
family, like in the 80s and the 90s.
Glorious careers we could have had.
Hey, I've been on Indeed.com like a bunch of times. I've never seen baby photographer as a job option.
I was about to say, yeah, I don't think it's on Indeed. I think that, you know, for posterity, maybe we should check. Let's see.
If you
Indeed,
do watch this movie.
It's the first thing that pops up,
Indeed
I know.
Indeed jobs.
If you do watch
baby
this movie in order to find. How a baby photographer works, because you want to be one, just know that you definitely shouldn't be touching the kids as much as he was.
Oh my god, yes.
Or wearing bow ties.
Or wearing bow ties, and please have a
better... I don't know why
better,
people think on bow ties so much. I love bow ties.
Please have a better office than the mop, you know, closet.
Or how about his hair? Like, what, like...
That
oh
had
god.
To have been fake.
Don't
hair.
You say a damn thing about his hair. That shit was fabulous.
That was fake. Hair. Trust me. That was fake.
I really hate that we're talking about Joe Estevez, and the best thing that we have to say about him is that he has great hair. And
well, it's funny because he had a ponytail. He had like this little crappy, shitty little ponytail in Roller Gator, and that's the thing that drove Just Jen crazy.
Right.
He's like, I hate that ponytail. Cut that ponytail off.
Yeah, and then this one, she probably go even more nuts on his horrible head. Of hair.
I know.
All right, you all ready to have your hearts broken?
Yes.
So a baby photographer is a real gig.
Really?
Right.
And it's for newborns in a hospital.
Oh.
Exactly. Like, could there literally be anything sweeter than that? And this woman's over here like, it's a baby photographer who sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what kind of monster?
There was that line, and you even called it. You said, "What? He's a monster." And then it actually said,
He's
a little monster.
Right,
I
right.
love that.
But Joe gives a pretty good performance. He's very sincere.
He's like, let's bring it back.
He's very sincere, and I can't fault the man for being that and for giving that performance. It's funny, it's ridiculous, it's unbelievable, and I kind of liked it. I find him a very endearing actor, even though
I
yeah.
do too. I mean, everyone seems to be like very good natured and just down to have fun, and that's
right.
really what it's all about. Who cares if your audience likes it or not? If you're
well,
enjoying what you do, then commit.
Even though
you know,
okay,
follow through.
The mom though, the mom in the movie, like the with the kids or whatever, she was probably one of my least favorite characters.
Yeah, she wasn't very good.
Is that
good.
Because of her measurements?
Yeah. No, but that's a good one. No,
you're saying you don't like him with too much bottom land? Is that what you're
going for? I think it's because I just don't... Jonathan? I just didn't find her at all, like her part.
Did she even say anything?
She barely said stuff, but whenever she did, she was like...
Yeah, she wasn't very good.
Yeah, she just wasn't very good.
I'm sorry, for all posterity, I'm saying it. She was not a very good actress.
Well, I mean, nobody here was like...
Women aren't written to be funny. Well, I mean, it's like a new thing for women to be written to be funny, though. Like, I mean, if you think about this being like in the 90s, and like, there's also, we recently touched base on this about another famous film, which we won't say, where, you know, a woman brought up the point that women aren't written to be funny. They're usually written to be bitches while the guys are running around being funny.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that is kind of worth mentioning. But then again, I mean, she is just like this, you know, side character. It's not really...
Right.
This isn't her story by any means.
Oh,
so.
Right.
So what did you think of Mildred, Madame Zora? I thought she was kind of funny.
Kerbopple.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't hate her. Honestly, I found her watchable.
I did too.
And by the time she started talking and actually being a character and not the Madame Zora bit she was mm-hmm. doing, I was like, you know, I could see myself watching her.
I love the part where... you know, he keeps dropping shit, and then, you know, he starts complaining about it, and then she puts him in a wrestling hold.
A wrestling hold.
And she's like, my mother was a champion wrestler 6 years in a row or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, all of a sudden, oh, she's got some depth here.
I enjoyed her arc. I enjoyed following her story. She took me on a journey.
I don't know this actress at all, but I thought she did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Conrad Brooks, as always, gives a wackadoodle performance, as he always does.
He has everybody's heart.
God rest him.
He really is wonderful.
Oh, you can do anything.
I was telling everybody before I showed everybody a picture, but...
The thighs of a panther.
I had actually, you know, I met him back in 2010, and I got a picture with him, and in the picture, I actually ended up looking like I was like, he was terrified of me or something or whatever. I don't know how that ended up happening, but it was awesome.
It was the ghost baby. He saw the
ghost
baby.
He saw the ghost baby. That's it.
Right. What about the security guard? What do we think of that guy?
It was nice to see Porn Stash from Orange is the New Black again. That was great.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering if anyone was going to bring up the Porn Stash.
Oh,
the Porn Stash and the gloves. That's the thing that made him creepy, in my opinion.
Yeah, the gloves fit. And so they can't acquit.
And I mean, was it a prosthetic nose? Did we all decide on that? Because, you know, like... I do love a big nose, but, I mean, his was just, it wasn't even, like, real. It was, like,
that's
very
a beak.
Lemony Snicket. Like.
That was a beak. He could drink water with that. He could drink some water with that nose.
Could you drink water with beaks?
If that was a prosthetic, what was the point of that?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Maybe
it was just, like, the most clear and concise thing about this film was how prominent his nose
hey,
was.
Hey, man, he survived Nam.
That's true. The Ho Chi Minh Trail.
Oh,
my God.
Even though little girls can nard him at any time. I mean, like, 3 times he went down to heat.
Well, like,
which is fascinating because a man couldn't have been more than, like, in his 30s or 40s. And, like, this is taking place in 1996.
Right.
So, I mean, this is very interesting.
Right. Oh, I was in Nam, but, like, when I was 10.
Basically.
Maybe he was just visiting. He went on vacation.
And then he's going around saying, I was in Nam. You know, if you were, you can say that.
It's not technically a lie.
I mean,
I'm going to do that. I'm going to go visit Vietnam.
He was
and
lost.
And then I'm going to run around and say I was in Nam.
Yeah.
He was lost. He had one of those little nameplates. My name is Timmy. Here's my address. I'm lost. Send me home. You know, just ridiculous. But as far as his acting goes, I have to say he was not bad. He was an annoying character, but he played it well.
Right. Yeah, the cadence of his voice kind of aggravated me when he was taunting little girls
and saying all this stuff.
And he was
sure.
like, I've got the toenails of an eagle and whatever else he was on about, like comparing himself to various like fierce
He's the
animals.
Closest thing we have to a villain because the two idiot thugs are too stupid to be villains, really. And Baby Ghost is too weird and kind of adorable.
Baby Ghost was a party animal.
Can
we just discuss like his like theme music? Every time he'd show up, it'd be like, and I'd be like, that's it. We're all dancing.
Something
in the club.
Fun and wacky's gonna happen.
That's absolutely true. It was absolutely.
I need to download the Baby Ghost song. I need to just.
There you go.
We need the theme music. Scott Shaw,
yes,
where's the theme
please,
music?
Please.
Soundtrack.
Make that available, please.
I'm
Loved it. Loved
it. Do MP3s of it all. We want it.
And what about the thugs, guys? What about the two?
My favorite part of the movie.
I know. They were just so crazy.
They were amazing.
They were so bad.
Hey, I'm walking here. Inexplicable New York accent.
Yo. Oh. There you go. You found it.
That's right.
Whoa, was that on YouTube for real?
That's yeah.
Outstanding.
Uh-oh. Sounds like the Bangles.
Baby ghost. Huh. Outstanding. I love it.
Oh my gosh, like it's supposed to be like Ghostbusters.
I know.
Yeah, it was weird.
Which was named
like,
several times in the movie.
But I like this a lot better than the Ghostbusters. I hate the Ghostbusters.
I mean,
theme.
Is it me or does it sound like the Bangles?
Yeah, it does kind of.
It might
on
be.
Helium.
I mean, by 1996, they might have done this.
It's a living.
Sure. We're playing this at our next mall show. Please come see us. That's awesome.
That's awesome. There is at least 2,000 views on here.
So, at least in regards in regards to the music, I think it was a step up from Roller Gator. Roller Gator had that annoying guitar noodling that drives most people away. You're gonna get
that's a jam, guys.
This is gonna be on her
ringtone.
Yeah.
No, I'm gonna be rolling around Van Nuys.
I won't hear a bad word about this song. This song is amazing.
I absolutely agree.
It is the best part of the film. That and just the ridiculous baby ghost, you know, special effects.
I mean, it's sad. I don't know why anybody was scared of it. He was so adorable.
Yeah, I really didn't understand that myself because I'm like, did he, I mean, what did he do that was so bad and so wrong?
Like, okay, I get it. He floats, but is that against the law?
And he ruins
and
stuff.
And he has a pretty menacing giggle. Oh, God, look at that. It came on again. And
he's kind of annoying.
Yeah, I don't know. The phone's broken. I can't get it open. It's just like the movie.
Must be,
Baby Ghost
is doing it
Nothing
now.
Is working because Baby Ghost.
He's annoying, but, you know, kind of, I mean, just like
he's making
just like
the
Roller Gator.
Continue to play.
Well, they said he was supposed to destroy the world. But with tomfoolery, they
with
actually said he was going to destroy the world with tomfoolery.
Well, as you do,
as you do. there are definitely
I mean,
more ridiculous
let's,
ways.
Let's
to destroy
face
the world.
It, Ernest, you know, was the first demon to try and do that, but now
I mean,
he died.
Have
so.
You seen what's happened to our country?
Please, let's not even go.
Baby Ghost 2020.
Baby Ghost 2020. I would vote for him.
Seriously.
Running on a campaign of tomfoolery.
That's absolutely right. But who's that's, vice
and donuts.
Those are platforms I can get behind.
Tomfoolery and donuts.
I'm okay. I'm all right. They can't. That's the campaign to end all campaigns.
If you don't actually name this podcast Tomfoolery and Donuts, I'm never speaking to you again.
Nice. Outstanding. So I like to think we all kind of had fun watching this film, even though it was particularly bad.
I loved it so much.
So much fun. So ridiculous.
That's one of the satisfying things about watching this kind of movie, though,
right.
is that you can just enjoy yourself, you can laugh at yourself, you can laugh at the material.
But it's not, we're not laughing
at
it in a mean,
but still enjoy
like, we're not laughing at it to be mean. You know,
no.
We're laughing at it because we're actually
we're not.
Enjoying it.
You're enjoying it.
No, we're not.
No,
what?
It's
I mean,
it's
I thought this was a, I thought this was a critic piece. I'm sorry. I'm just going to go call my agent.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
No, and you know what? I really wish there was a Baby Ghost 2. I would watch the Baby
Seriously.
Ghost 2.
I'm actually, yeah, at the end of it when it was like, wait, watch out for Baby Ghost 2, and I'm like, what?
I know.
More Baby Ghost than I kind of wanted it.
Hey,
that should have been this
overwhelming sense of like regret and loss.
Seriously,
fell over me
that this is the same thing when happened with Roller Gator. They promised Roller Gator 2, never happened.
Well, there were so many hanging plot threads that I just need to know.
Seriously,
what they were.
As I was telling you, Baby Ghost versus Roller Gator, which would have been
this
Baby
is what
Gator.
Is so magical about Baby Ghost 2 is that. Baby Ghost went off with those two guys from New York.
Right.
So literally Baby Ghost 2 is going to be lost in New York.
Lost in New
York.
Awesome.
This missed opportunity.
I know.
Oh my God. That's
instead of donuts, maybe he's going after, you know, large slices of New York pizza.
And bagels.
Oh my God, yeah.
Oh
bagels.
My God, absolutely.
That would be
and then
so
he goes
cool.
and he's in a hotel cuz they can already do the, you know, they can do
If
the...
Ed Koch hadn't died, he'd have been perfect for this.
Oh my God, I love it. It would have been
I don't
great.
Know, we might be able to get Joe Pesci. He hasn't been doing
that would
lately.
Be fabulous.
Well, he did do The Irishman.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
And,
oh,
and Rudy Giuliani. I mean, hopefully he's going to
he
be looking
like
for a job
a good
soon.
Sport. You hear that, Joe Pesci? Call me.
We got a job for you.
We got a job for you, buddy.
Goes from The Irishman to Baby Goes 2.
I think what? Netflix will story greenlight career. This.
Quite a jump.
Netflix will greenlight anything.
Or what if it's The Irishman 2, Baby Ghost?
There you go.
Oh my God.
Scott Shaw, are you hearing all this? There's so much love for Baby Ghost. We need
Gangs
to do this.
Gangs of Lost in New York.
We need this.
Gangs of Lost in... That's perfect.
Gangs of Baby
Martin
Ghosts.
Martin Scorsese, we're coming for you.
Nice. We could have a little cameo for Woody Allen, because you know he's always in New York, too.
Leonardo DiCaprio can play the cop.
Seriously.
And he can just, like...
Yeah, like, what's that guy doing?
Slam his hands down and break something.
Mia Farrow can play the mother.
Finally
with the
win
kids.
An award.
Oh, yeah. So
oh
much possibilities.
This movie's already written.
I know.
I mean, this movie writes itself. Baby Ghost is just the real hero here, is all I'm saying.
Seriously.
Exactly.
Baby Ghost is the director, producer, actor. I mean, it's
star.
Basically like the Clint Eastwood, Sylvester Stallone.
He's a
bigger
horror movie.
He's a bigger star than Neil Breen. Come on.
Yes. I have no idea who Neil Breen is.
And how many Baby Ghosts do you know that have their own theme music? I don't know many.
Not too many, I don't think.
I don't think I've met any other Baby Ghosts, so he'd be the only one, too.
You need to get out more.
I know.
Well, that's what I'm doing here, right?
But we pulled you back in to watch this movie.
Yes.
So.
But yes, all right, so what about the special effects? What do you guys think?
Oh, my God.
What special effects?
Is that a real
question? There were special effects in the film?
It was a puppet, and it wasn't even like a real puppet. It was the projection of a puppet off camera onto the wall.
And it was like so faint you couldn't even see it. And at the end of the film, it was like, you know what? We're really tired of trying to make this very thinly lit translucent projection. We're just going to leave the puppet in the middle of the floor and not even have it move anymore.
What I love is that the Baby Ghost's aerodynamics allows it to fly one way, like this.
Erratically.
Yeah.
I know. Okay,
which
Paul.
Is so bad.
I know you want the baby gator.
Yes,
you
I
know,
do.
The puppet.
The baby gator ghost?
Yeah, no. Baby gator ghost.
Baby gator ghost.
That'll be the
say that 10 times fast. Baby gator,
one.
Ghost, baby gator ghost, baby gator ghost.
That'll complete the trilogy.
That'll be the trilogy.
See, if you say that in the mirror 3 times and you turn in a circle, baby ghost gator's going
to
appear.
You have to turn in a circle.
That's right.
And roller skates.
Candyman.
And roller skates.
Yeah.
But would you want baby ghost puppet too?
Sure, why not? Why not? I mean, these things are sitting in some storage unit somewhere gathering dust.
I would absolutely want the baby ghost puppet, and I would want to hang it from, like, fishing wire from my ceiling so it can dangle around.
Seriously, that should
the
be...
air conditioning.
That would be awesome.
It should
be
out...
better choreography than it had for the film.
I
wanted to have a second chance.
I've always dreamed...
to be a star.
A second chance at Afterlife.
I've always dreamed of having, like, a stinky movie museum where people could come and see these props and see things like this. It's just... You know, or at least a bar with all these things
all
on.
All 10 of us in the world who give a shit.
That's right. Oh, there's more.
I think we're all here.
Exactly. We're all in the room.
Trust me,
that's
there
fine.
Is more of us out there.
We'll
just
make it my apartment.
We're in the, most of us are in the closet, but some of us have come out proudly to be say, hey, we love our stinky movies, damn it.
Oh, I love stinky
and we're proud
movies.
About it.
Yeah, when we asked Lila to be on this show, you know, she was down, like, for a second. She was just like, I'm down to watch a bad movie.
Which is awesome, by the way. Awesome.
You know, and then Bobby, I don't know how you got into it, but you were just like, yeah, why not?
I kind of just showed up, as
yeah.
I do.
Right?
You're just like, okay, sure.
He
so,
poofed.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I mean, what happened was he was in this box, and I put my mother's measurement into the combination, and then, boof, we had a Bobby.
Is that not your cousins?
So,
we had a Bobby ghost.
Nice.
Somebody turned on the baby ghost light up into the sky in Gotham, and, you know, you answered your call.
Just don't give him any scissors.
Yes, please.
And if you do, give me a fake pair and a real pair.
That's right.
And we need donuts, lots of donuts.
Exactly. I was going to say, the donuts are a must. You know.
Yeah, I require them.
I did actually bring you donuts this week, which
that
is pretty
true.
Funny.
Baby
really
Ghost has
donuts.
A sweet tooth.
Really good donuts.
As far as other special effects, I mean, he used a camera. It looked like a camera.
I think that was a camera.
Yeah, you could still see stuff like, you know, either it was a lens hood or it was the boom mic or something.
It was something.
So there were definitely some production issues that were still going on. We did mention the fact that it was out of focus almost the entire time.
Was there a single shot in focus?
No, there really, really wasn't. And the lighting was pretty much, they used whatever the, you know, apartment complex used.
Yeah, they didn't
that
have
was
additional
it.
Lighting.
They did not supplement that whatsoever.
No, they didn't.
So there are definitely
so
some
that
production
way, very
problems.
Visceral, the lighting.
Yeah, which, you know, this is what happens on a low-budget, filmic quick Donald G. Jackson movie. He's just going to kind of make it the way he can. He, you know, in Roller Gator, he had the benefit of natural light, so the lighting wasn't that much of an issue. Right. And he actually, most of that was in focus. So that wasn't much of an issue.
Oh, but the lens camera was on.
Yeah, the lens cap was on.
See, I thought it was an artistic choice because the movie got more and more clear as it went along.
That's
so I thought it was an artistic choice.
Either that or you just adjusted.
I think you drank more alcohol as the thing went along and it made more sense.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't even drinking at all for it. It was already like being drunk just to be a part of watching that film in the first place.
Right. You get drunk watching the movie.
Seriously.
That's exactly right. And
you can smoke the medical grade of this film and it'll just get you off completely.
The baby ghost is green.
Yes, he is.
It's green like pot, so there you go.
I mean, this is a commentary on smoking marijuana.
I would love to hear the commentary on this particular film.
But actually, one of my favorite things that I don't think that we've mentioned yet is...
Wow, what
I know
you're
new
again.
Your new obsession.
Dude, I don't know. Baby Ghost must be here because I'm hearing the music, guys.
There you go. Something wacky's gonna happen.
Some tomfoolery.
Tomfoolery.
What was up with that giggle?
It was adorable.
It was a pretty adorable ass giggle.
There was nothing scary about that ghost. No.
I want to know if Donald G. Jackson did the giggle because he did the Roller Gator voice.
That's what I was thinking too. He did the Roller Gator voice, so I'm wondering if he did the giggle for the baby ghost.
I know. Maybe he bought it. It was a bought giggle.
Maybe.
It was a giggle effect.
It was a giggle
effect. He went to Giggles R Us and he picked out one that he thought was appropriate. And
can of giggles.
It kind of sounded like somebody giggling in a toilet bowl for a minute there because there was this weird like
as you
reverb.
Do.
as
you
as
do.
One does.
Sounds very appropriate.
When they're in a mall that looks suspiciously like an apartment building.
Yes, exactly. And an office that looks suspiciously like a utility closet.
You giggle in toilets. I mean... For me, I feel like I said, Baby Ghost is a real hero here because all he really did was liberate everyone from their awful lives.
Seriously.
For a moment in time with giggles and hijinks.
And tomfoolery.
Tomfoolery. And donuts.
I know. It's just so bizarre. What a movie.
I feel bad. This movie has a 2.8 rating on IMDb.
That's unfortunate.
Based on 41 ratings.
Wow.
I mean,
41
if
people
we're being
this.
Honest, that sounds kind of higher than I expected.
Yes.
Disagree.
I mean, the fact that it even has a rating at all means that there are more of us out in the world and not just in this room and not just
41.
Listening to this.
And
right
I'm
now.
Glad it's on Amazon. People can watch it. Was it Amazon or what was it? What did we watch
it? It was on Amazon. You can buy it for like $2 on Amazon.
That's a steal.
So for all 37 of you out there,
seriously,
keep your purchases up because I really want to see a baby ghost.
That's a bargain, man.
It'll
for
be at
$2.
Least 41 if, you know, if all of them are still alive that posted this, they can still
do
it.
Oh, man, you're right. Because what if they were just the actors from the film?
Yeah,
oh.
Seriously, guys out there, for $2... This was a night's entertainment. This was for four people. This was a night's entertainment.
Oh, yeah.
I absolutely loved it. I wouldn't have wanted to spend my Friday night any other way.
Yay.
I keep forgetting this is Friday
night. My
kind of
gal, you know.
This is what we did on a Friday night.
This is what we did on a Friday night.
Yes.
Actually, we did two podcasts today already.
We did.
And so both the first two episodes of them were done today.
I'm not sure what Larry G. Jackson would have thought when he saw this, if he saw this film.
I don't think he would have fell asleep.
I think he would have been appalled.
I was thinking of we just interviewed G. Larry Butler.
G. Larry Butler.
I think he would have stayed
have
awake
involved.
For this whole thing.
He's
know?
Funny.
But yeah, no, that was this was a bad film.
You
like
think?
This was not a
really?
Good film. This is not something that you could go and tell people, oh, you know, you should watch this for the acting or the cinematography.
And
or
yeah,
the,
absolutely.
Significantly
not.
Worse than Roller Gator 2.
Yeah,
you know?
And, but remember, this was before, so is he getting, was he getting better? Well, Little Lost Sea Serpent, which I think is after this.
That's the one that's supposed to be worse.
Oh my
three.
God, how? Like, was that one maybe before?
We will have to see. Next time I come back to California, I am bringing that puppy, and we are going to watch it, because that's just our twisted, sad fate.
Yeah, we're going to have to watch it here.
Yep.
You know, with all of us again.
Maybe we can make it a Patreon-only thing. We put it out there and, you know, get our Patreon subscribers to
whatever. We'll figure
in.
It out later.
Yeah,
I mean,
we'll figure
we got,
it out.
We got plenty of time.
And the wonderful thing is that there's so many other Donald G. Jackson movies out there that we have to do. And the man was just, he was just a fount of bad movie wonderness. It's just fabulous.
Yes.
I will say the movie was strangely riveting. It never lost my attention.
Yes.
Truly never lost my attention.
Yeah, you never got bored.
No.
No.
You never fell asleep.
No,
you
know? There was always something to do in that film.
Yeah, there was always something to laugh at. You know?
Or what the hell?
Or question.
Or question. Yes.
Questionings. So many questions.
I definitely have a lot of those.
I know. Well, I was hoping someday, maybe, we could bump into Joe Estevez. I'm dying to talk to him about these movies.
Why hasn't anyone at this table made contact with Joe Estevez?
You are the connections guy.
Oh, well, I will try. I'll do what I can to connect this with Joe Estevez. And I want to ask him about his hair.
Yes, I know. Mm-hmm. Well, we asked.
I believe it's real.
We asked Jerry Larry Butler if he knew him, and he says, well, he knows of him, but I guess they haven't worked together.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess not everybody in Hollywood works together.
Right, you know?
Is that the case?
I think so.
Sure.
So it would seem.
Maybe.
But it's going to happen. Joe, we're going to get you on the program. We're going to talk to you. We're going to interview you on Spotlight. And hopefully you're going to give us some great nuggets of information about these movies, because they are just unlike anything else out there, and they're just fabulous and outstanding, and I love sharing these movies with the rest of the world, because you need to see them.
I just wish we had donuts.
Yes. You know. That's my everyday. Welcome to my everyday. I'm just sitting there saying, God, I wish I had a donut. Lemon-filled.
Hey, you love, because we're in L.A. right now, you love the fact that there are a lot of donut shops.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
You just got a sidecar. I don't know if they have them anywhere else, but the one in Santa Monica is pretty amazing.
I'll tell you what, they're just all over the place. I wish we had a sidecar, so just fill them up with donuts.
Absolutely right.
Are we being paid for that plug?
Yeah, we should. We should. Absolutely.
Sponsored.
Hey, somebody out there, sponsor us. We'll eat donuts as we do the show.
Yes, exactly. It'll become Indie Film Cafe Donuts.
If you're going to have cafe with coffee, you got to have donuts.
That's true.
Exactly.
That's a law somewhere.
Seriously.
Yep, that should be. All right, so we're toward the end. So, Paul, tell everybody about what's going to happen next.
Okay, so now we are going to do our scores on the Stinkometer. And so for the benefit of those of you who are new to our show, and also for those of you who've been with us, you already know that the Stinkometer is our way of grading the film on a 1 to 10 scale, by which 1 has only a little bit of stink to it, and 10 is all kinds of rotten, horrible, nasty, awful stink, and 5 being in between, and if you feel subtle, you can give it a half step, so like a 5.5 or a 6.5, and we count up that score, and then at the end of the season, we try and figure out what was the stinkiest movie of the year. And I'm telling you what, this is season 3. Season 2, 1 and 2 champion has been Neil Breen. So everybody's gunning for Neil Breen. Can we find a movie stinkier than Twisted Pair or Fateful Findings?
Well, it would be the same, right? Because it can only go up to 30.
It can only go up to 30. But there have been a couple movies that are close, mm-hmm. been very close, but he's the only one who have been 30s 2 years in a row. So, that being said, we now need to go to our ratings. Jonathan, I'm calling on you first.
All right. So, my original thought, and I'm going to go with it, and then I thought about something else, but I changed it back in my mind. I'm going with
9.5.
Originally, I thought 10 at one point, and wow. I was like, it's... You know what? That theme music was so good. I'm going to give it a 9.5.
So you found one tiny little shredling of something that you hung on to keep you from going to a 10.
Yeah. It's not 10 worthy, I don't think, yet. You know, I don't think we've gotten there yet.
Right. But you're not going to regret this, because remember, early on, you tend to not give 10s.
Okay, yeah. So last season...
Integrity, Paul.
Integrity.
And last season, I was worried. I thought, like, giving a 10 too early would be kind of like a curse in a way to what's going on. So I gave it a 9.5 to Actium Maximus, which definitely deserved a 10.
You also gave it, for season 1, you gave a 9.5 when you probably should have given a 10
to Barn of the Blood Llama.
So this isn't
those bad. Yeah,
no.
This is fun and enjoyable. I'll give it a 9.5.
9.5. All right.
Do you want to go next, Bobby?
Me? All right. God, it's so difficult. If I'm being completely honest, I gotta say, I gotta give it a 5.
A 5?
Just because it really kept my attention. I did not expect it to keep my attention the whole goddamn movie. There were some things that were so bad, they were hilarious. And so I mean, there's a lot of redeemable qualities in that to me.
Right.
That's me.
It's pretty high on the entertainment scale.
Absolutely. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I understand that. Okay.
What about you, Lila?
I'm also going to go a little bit lower. I'm going to give it like a 6.
Okay.
And the reason why I'm going to give it a 6 is because I totally agree with Bobby, because even with just the jumping around and like the fun homages to Simpsons, Home Alone, Ghostbusters, that sort of thing, it does keep your attention. The music was a jam. And this is the most important thing to me, is that as irreverent and silly and mismatched and poorly filmed as it was, it still was a coherent storyline.
Yep.
Yeah. One of the things that takes away points for me is when things are just kind of splattered here and there, and you don't really even know like what's going on or what came first and what's coming next, and you're just like really confused. I think that that's where you start to add the points. I think that's where you get your 10.
Sure, lazy filmmaking.
Something that's almost like more Lynchian, like David Lynch. You know what I'm saying? Where you're just like, what's even happening here? Is there a storyline? Is there a narrative? And this one actually had one. I wouldn't say it was a solid one, but it was a coherent one.
I will say though, the doors not opening was never explained. That to me is bad. You know, when you can you have something that obvious of like people just try to open up a door and everything and they don't ever explain, well, maybe the ghost is doing it. Something as simple. Just let, you know, let the audience know that that's... That
maybe,
that's
maybe they were going to explain that in Baby Ghost 2. Maybe in Baby Ghost 2 there
maybe
were going to be two ghosts.
Maybe they simply forgot how doors work.
Well, they
in
did
this movie,
open it
that's
later.
Possible.
I absolutely believe that's possible.
They did open it at the end because he walked out and everything after the ghost was captured. So if they just explained that, it's just little things like that.
I hear you. But that, I understand. That's, you know, and even given all that, it's still a crappy, terrible film. So I'm going to have to be a little bit more harsh on that, but I'm going to give it an 8.5.
Yeah.
8.5. It's pretty bad, but we've seen much worse.
We have.
Much worse.
You guys,
I feel like I've seen much worse also.
Yeah, you probably have too. Like, you know, even Hollywood movies these days, some of them are like even worse than this.
Well, and then
you hear that Hollywood, we're coming for you.
There's some movies that are supposedly great movies, and I still find myself going at my, you know, at my phone. I'm like, oh, what's going on here on the internet? This movie, whole time.
I'll be honest with you, even just this whole event tonight has really had me into the whole Joe Esteves thing. And while you guys were talking just now, I was doing a little bit of recon. So I guess he did something recently called Dark County.
Nice.
And somebody did an interview with him. So
nice.
I'm going to kind of try to reach out and feel around, see if I can get connected.
Yay.
With him.
Yes.
And, I also, in my journey over here of the dark web, I guess, I have uncovered something called the Joe Esteves song. And
yes.
I don't even know what it is, but it's only 29 seconds long, and I think we should play it.
Oh, that's
fabulous.
Yeah,
let's listen to it.
Let's hear this, because
Joe
Esteves needs his own song.
Absolutely.
I already love it.
Like we promised.
So you may think that there's a problem with the recording, but this is actually what it sounds like.
It sounds a lot to me like someone laughing in the toilet.
Yeah.
So
makes sense.
Maybe just par for the course.
Let's just don't. Okay.
Wow.
What the hell?
You're welcome, world.
It made as much sense
frankly,
as the movie.
That bit of scholarship makes me wish that we would have you full time here on Indie Film Cafe, because that's exactly the sort of stuff we need to have.
I mean, it's entirely possible.
Outstanding.
Well, me and Lila will be spending a lot more time together, so
you
know, who knows what will happen.
There you go.
You know.
Outstanding. Well, I'd say we did this movie pretty well. We definitely enjoyed it. We definitely talked about it. And
we talked it to death.
Talked it to death. And it is now part of Indie Film Cafe lore.
Yep.
Donald G. Jackson, thank you once again for your creative genius. You know, Joe Esteves, Conrad Brooks, everybody involved. Thank you. Yeah, a lot of fun. Just a lot of fun.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for having me, guys. I'm
sure.
Me too.
Thanks
Yay.
For bringing me on and sharing Baby Ghost with me.
You bet.
Before we go, we always like to ask our guests, you know, first of all, what are you guys up to lately? So, Bobby, do you want to go?
Me? I'm doing a bit of writing for HBO that I can't talk about, and I'm doing some stuff for Comedy Central that I can't talk about. God damn those NDAs.
Oh, well, there you go.
Is there you going to be using any Baby Ghost references here?
Oh, I just might.
Outstanding.
All right, how about you, Lila?
As for me, I just relocated to LA, as you all know, and I'm just going to school in the studio, just studying, trying to plan for auditions maybe in the pilot season that's coming up. And
you are studying the Joe Estevez technique, right?
Yes, actually, I was looking specifically at the Joe Estevez technique, and nice. I'm pretty sure that's his real hair. And since I also have a lot of hair, I think that it's something that we share.
You share in common.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you going to go to the Conrad Brooks School of Running?
I will for stunts, absolutely. I'm thinking about a 6-week intensive.
Sweet.
You want to be safe when you do your stunts.
Right.
Absolutely.
You need the training.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody can stare at an elevator like Conrad Brooks. You know, take him as your model.
Master of his craft.
Oh, master.
He is wonderful.
Genius.
And a sweetheart. Sweetheart of a man.
God rest his soul.
Well, we just want to mention before we go, we got we've been doing a lot of stuff lately, especially here in LA. We got a lot of
Welcome to then. LA, Jonathan.
My
by
God.
The way, congratulations on your move.
Thank
such
you.
A
LA
big journey that you've had.
Ripe.
And we're glad to have you.
LA is ripe for the taking for Indie Film Cafe. So
exactly, lots of Uber drivers have our card. You know, now it's like it's really weird to actually get
lots of curbs and gutters do now.
No, but a lot of people
exactly where all of our work's going,
and a lot of people pull stuff out of the curbs and gutters. So
that is
them.
Also true.
That is true. So who knows who will be listening to the
right.
show?
So
and if you are listening, if you're brand new, thank you so much for checking us out. You can follow us at Indie Film Cafe on. Yeah, I guess it's on Twitter, Facebook,
Podbean,
Instagram, Podbean,
Radio Public, iHeart Radio.
Well, actually, I mean, pretty much every
SoundCloud,
I think so, yeah, too. Spotify, I think
Spotify.
As well. All these
iTunes.
Different platforms, yeah. We're even on, what's that?
Stitcher.
No, we're on Stitcher, but there's like Radio.
Radio Public.
Radio.
So many. Just pick a platform.
iHeartRadio.
iHeartRadio.
That made me smile when I found that out.
Because it's on Roku, which is great.
Yeah. So there you go. So you can listen to us on Roku.
And don't forget, you can also go to our mothership, which is indiefilmcafe.reviews, where we actually sort of talk about all the stuff and we link to all the episodes and we give you pictures. We tell you about how you can go about getting copies of all these wonderful movies for yourself. And, you know, we talk about a lot of the background and stuff and some scholarship and all that. And it's a lot of fun.
It's fun. So thank you guys for joining us. Also, if you want to support us, we have
Patreon.
A Patreon. So the links will all be down at the bottom. You can check them all out. And how can they reach you guys? Or do you guys want to give that information out?
They can just call me if they want.
Really?
Yeah, just go and put your phone number on there.
555.
I don't have any social media. I'm crazy like that. I got nothing.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I just put myself out there in the world and hope somebody will scoop me up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lila, do you want to share your...
I mean, so that Bruce Campbell can call you back.
I mean, yeah, and Rob Pattinson.
I'm
trying to dig on some Cedric Diggory, you know what I'm saying?
There you go.
And now Batman.
And now, is he
Batman.
Still Batman?
He's Batman now.
Oh, shit, I forgot.
Yeah.
I mean, Batman was always my favorite, so I mean, this is meant to be now.
Yeah.
All right.
You're meant to be with Robert Pattinson.
Well, what I was going to say is, because, you know, really I'm just here to publicize Bobby more than anything, is that you can contact him on his Tinder account.
There you go. You can do that. If you find me.
If you find him.
If you
match
with 20-mile radius.
I have it set to 50 now.
Oh, okay.
Look under Weird Puppets.
Yeah, that's factual.
Sorry, that's me. Oops.
As for me, yeah, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, that kind of stuff. So if you want to follow me and see a lot of selfies of me drinking coffee and working too much and studying a lot.
And trust me, you want to see your selfies. They're very cool.
And
thank you.
And you know, and that's the other thing is you work a lot. So we know this.
A life, baby.
You know, that's great because, and you still have time to talk to us and do this. So thank you.
I know.
You make time for that. I'd do anything for you, Jonathan.
You didn't run away from our nerdosity. It's so
no,
awesome.
Absolutely.
No, she ran into it.
Amazing.
I leaned in.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
Yes. So there you go.
Outstanding. You're one of a kind.
Oh, thank you for just coming on, and everybody, just thank you, Bobby, for just stopping by and being interested in what we're doing.
I'm glad I popped in.
Yeah, I'm glad
and
you did too.
Thanks, all of you, for listening. We're going to cut this one off, but please come by and check out the next episode. I believe it's going to be another Jonathan movie. So we'll see what's going on. Remember, we're going East Coast, West Coast now.
Maybe Lila will be back. Maybe
so, Bobby hopefully.
Well, you never know. You're going to have to find out.
You have to find out next month.
Baby
so.
Goes 2, you're back. I know it.
It's like Simba and Nala have joined like Timon and Pumbaa or something. We're now like a foursome.
Okay. Exactly. That's a very interesting reference.
You know, they all did kind of team up to do the right thing.
Oh, no, you're right.
Maybe the right thing together was
come on, we're
up.
In L.A. Everyone's got a foursome going on. Come on. Anyway.
That's the law somewhere.
Once again, Bobby does have a tender with a 50-mile radius, and he's in the foursomes.
Woo-hoo. I like to drive. I don't know. It's fine.
Outstanding.
My car seats four. That's good.
Works.
I mean, you got to have a little bit of a struggle somewhere. I got to give some chase.
Yeah, of course. With my car, apparently. All
right, so we will see you on the next episode, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.